Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Walking along London's Regent's Canal in Hackney with George Fort, who has been developing a digital platform called PlaceCloud. PlaceCloud is all about animating the places through which we walk with place-specific recordings, placecasts, written by writers, artists, scholars and everyday people. George maintains it's not a collection of audio tours recorded in a studio by a dislocated actor, but instead numerous placecasts dotted across London, recorded by people like you and me, in the very places we're observing and describing. He spells out an intriguing and persuasive argument for why there's an appetite for PlaceCloud and why he's convinced that it's going to be popular amongst us walkers. The interview opens with George having opened the app on his smartphone.
I've just opened the app and we're seeing a map in the top half of the screen which is showing some pins which are identifying what we're calling placecasts.
Placecasts.
Yeah. What it features is placecasts. These are place-specific podcasts. Short pieces of audio recorded by scholars, artists, writers, journalists, all kinds of interesting people, anyone with something original to say about a specific building or tree or bridge or anything, anything in the physical environment. And the idea is the user opens up the app and he can see what the different placecasts are that are near him. So this one might be 2 minutes walk. And he goes, oh, that looks interesting. He presses it, or she. You see the placecast. He can navigate to that spot, which he's encouraged to do. He or she walks there, presses play, and listens to that piece of audio in a specific place where it was recorded and where it's intended that the user should listen to it.
Okay, so it's not like a tour.
It's not a tour.
I'm not going A, B, C, D or chronologically. I'm just stumbling across them.
That's right, and I guess that's where it differs from traditional audio tours apps, in the sense that there's no narrative here. It's about seeing familiar things from a new perspective, from someone else's mind, someone who's got an original point of view.
And is it only walk directions, or is it something that I can be driving along in my car and be using?
It uses Google Maps, so you can navigate however you like. The idea is you just fit it into your life. You don't need to carve out 2 hours to go into a tour around London or wherever else it might be. Wherever you are, you might be waiting at the bus stop, you might be meeting a friend somewhere, you might be walking home after work. You just open it up and you see what's around you. And you'll listen to these things and suddenly the familiar city will become a new place, will become animated with new ideas.
What's brought you to the point of wanting to develop such an app?
Well, it came from my work as a trustee of the Blake Society in London, which is a small grassroots society of slightly eccentric but very interesting and nice people who are all interested in William Blake, who is the English poet and artist from the 18th century. Part of my role there was organising a year's worth of events. We did 10 events a year, one a month almost, of talks and musical things and journeys, travel, all kinds of very interesting things. We had scholars coming in, we had poets, we had lots of really interesting grassroots cultural stuff.
Perhaps we ought to ask, what's your enthusiasm about William Blake?
Oh, William Blake. Well, that's a big subject, but essentially I discovered William Blake at university, although I was studying classics. I got more interested in Blake. In fact, I tried to do my thesis on William Blake, despite the fact that I was doing Greek and Latin, which was a couple of thousand years before Blake. But it turned out okay. I managed to weave him in. It's very hard to say what's attractive about Blake. He had an entire cosmology, you could call it, a psychological one. And he saw around him the Industrial Revolution taking place. And he thought or believed or saw that the source of that massive change was a psychological one, and that he saw that the human psyche is made up of four major parts: the imagination, reason, the emotions, and the senses, the body. he saw that reason had kind of gone crazy and taken over and had degraded into rationalism. And this is really interesting, and the way that he expressed it in his poetry and art was extraordinary. He basically created a load of myths, but also he prefigured people like Jung, who started to say the same thing. We don't know if Jung actually read Blake. He did read a bit. But then also work on the brain hemispheres nowadays, how the left hemisphere sees a completely different kind of world to the right hemisphere, and the left hemisphere tends to see only categories of things, and it creates a self-enclosed system. For example, we're looking at some boats right now, we're walking along the canal. The left hemisphere would just see boat, 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 boat. The right hemisphere sees that particular unique object in real time right now. And Blake, in modern parlance, thought the left hemisphere had basically gone completely nuts and had taken over and was projecting its self-enclosed system into the physical world, which is why we started seeing industrialization happen, which is essentially the sweeping up of material, turning it into nice straight lines, and basically turning it into a machine. And the left hemisphere is a kind of machine-like process. Blake was this kind of genius that he was a prophet, in the sense that he could see into the present of his own time in a way that other people couldn't. I think he'd even be shocked about how far things have gone in terms of industrialization and this, what we've just been talking about.
So do you think that your fascination with William Blake has influenced your making of the rap?
Blake's word Golgonooza, which is his word for a kind of eternal city, which he modelled on London, the city of imagination. So the link is that the city of the imagination is a city of human thought, imagination, emotion, all of these kind of human things, rather than the dead, objective, material of an empty physical world.
And so what you're trying to do with the content is actually weave some of that sort of fictional or factional or imaginary, yeah, mythical world into the physical spaces.
That's exactly right. We're trying to reanimate the physical world with the human, trying to humanise it, because humans can only relate to things that are human. And obviously other humans are human, but also physical things can and should be human, in the sense that if we look down here, we're walking along the canal still, there's a load of grass. If I see that and I know nothing about it and I've got no experience of it, so I have no knowledge of it, it's just grass, it's just a dead object. Whereas if I know that I can use that grass in the spring, it becomes a medicine for some kind of ailment or something like that, then in a sense it's human, because it's part of my world, my human world. I have a relationship with it. And part of this process of what we've just been talking about with Blake, where mankind is kind of separated from his environment because the environment has become a machine-like load of cogs, dead matter working together like a machine, we can have no relationship with something like that. It has no meaning for us, and we can't relate to it. And so we're thrown back on ourselves, which is what this kind of existential anxiety that the whole of Western culture seems to be experiencing right now, unsurprisingly. So what I'm doing is using this amazing new technology, which is essentially a form of augmented reality. We're augmenting the physical world with the human voice, and embodied in that human voice are human thoughts, human imaginations, human knowledge, emotions. And we're merging the physical with the human in a way that perhaps it used to be before this massive change that happened in the European Enlightenment in the 18th century. So that's all very theoretical.
And there it sounds very grand. Well done.
Well, it doesn't really matter, though, because no one's going to know or care about that. All they care about is it's the alchemy of actually experiencing one of these things, place casts, which we talked about at the beginning, the being out in a specific place in the physical world and listening to a piece of audio by some kind of expert. It doesn't actually have to be an expert, someone with an original point of view, something to say. Is that experience meaningful? Does it create meaning in the physical environment? Do you see something in a new way, and is that satisfying to you? It's a completely emotional thing. It's like an alchemy. No one cares about the theory behind it.
Are you going to curate this? Are you choosing the voices that are being on the app? Or
I'm pulling together a constellation of people.
This version, when it's released, will it be tied to a specific... Is it only going to be in Hackney, or is it going to be in the whole of London, or is it the whole of the world?
It's going to be in the whole of London. I had tried to limit it to Hackney or East London, just to keep it small, but I've been approaching and talking to various contributors, scholars and writers and artists, and a lot of them can't limit their inputs to East London. So I've opened it up to the whole of London, which is fine. So I've got a load of stuff in Herne Hill, Brixton, by an arts organisation called 198. They've done a really interesting set of place casts about the black history of the area, Railton Rose. I've also got a really interesting guy called Tom Bolton, who's a scholar at UCL and a historian, who's written a book about Camden and also a book about London's lost rivers. And he's done a series of place casts around Shadwell and Wellclose Place about the kind of slightly mystical history there. I've also got a poet who's done something in Soho. So it's spreading out all over London, and I expect, well, I hope that it will continue to spread.
Are you recruiting people now to be your voices and to provide the content? When are you going to sort of start to launch it to the public? How does that kind of work?
Quite soon. I just need to get a critical mass of content on there, because you only get one chance with people, and if they open up the app and there's two things on there and it's otherwise empty, they'll lose patience for you. It's too minimum. So the platform itself is ready and it's looking fantastic, as you've just seen. And I've got three different contributors who've done probably about 30 place casts in total.
So tell us a little bit more about a place cast and how one makes a place cast. Is it literally what I'm doing at the moment? I'm walking along with you, and so we're going to have this podcast as a place cast of a walk along the Regent's Canal.
Absolutely, that's what we could do. At its simplest, it's really just a voice recording with a set of GPS coordinates attached to it, and a photograph so that people can identify what they're meant to be looking at when they get there.
Are you going out with some sophisticated recording equipment, or are people using their own stuff? I mean, how's it working?
We're using quite a simple lapel microphone, not as sophisticated as what you've got in your hand now, which is obviously top of the range.
I wish I had a lapel microphone, because my hand is freezing. Apart from that.
And a recording app on a smartphone, which is free. And apparently, what I, from my research, is the actual recording bit is not very important, because they all do what they're meant to do. It's the microphone that's important. The idea is, actually, I don't want something super perfect and studio level recordings. I want it to be a bit more realistic with some noises in the back.
So people actually record these place casts at the place, at the location where the place cast has relevance.
That's right.
Okay, so it's not actually being recorded in a studio.
The contributors can make the recording and take the photo and set the GPS coordinates all within the app. It's very simple, and to make it more and more simple means that more and more place casts will be created, and the idea is that it will start to proliferate. You know, if it's as easy to make a place cast as it is to post a photo on Facebook or Instagram or something, then more people will do it. And that's what we're after. We're after quantity, obviously quality. There'll be curation in terms of audio quality and also content. But really, we're going to, ironically, industrialise this whole process of creating place casts.
Okay, so why on earth would I want to use an app like this? I mean, what sort of people are going to be downloading your app and wandering around with their smartphone glued to it instead of actually enjoying the real-time
experience? Yeah, well, that's a very good point. The idea is they put their smartphone in their phone, I mean, in their pocket once they're there. They shouldn't be looking at their smartphone. The idea is you look at the real object whilst listening to some kind of expert or interesting people, transform it before your very eye through their voice. So, you know, we're walking along here, and it's lovely. It's freezing cold, but it's very nice. We're looking at the trees and the boats and everything, but we don't know anything about them, and all we get is the kind of surface level of them. They look nice, and it's nice to be out, but to really experience it a bit more fully, you need some kind of knowledge or reimagining or art or something to animate these things. So the question of who will listen to these things, anyone who likes to have a meaningful and satisfying experience. I mean, also people who like podcasts, people who like to read, people who look at Wikipedia, basically everyone.
You didn't learn all this technical guru geekiness from studying classics, so where's all that come from?
I've got a geek. He probably doesn't like to be called a geek, but he's a very nice guy. He's my advisor on the technology front. But essentially, I've done a vast amount of reading and talking to people over the last year or so. And it's just been a learning curve that I've had to go through. And it's quite painful because it's not my natural inclination to read about technology or startups for that matter. And I don't even like to be thought of as a startup because it's not my vibe of this whole thing. I'm learning it through experiencing it, essentially.
What I usually ask our interviewee is to recommend a couple of walks, but maybe you should recommend a couple of placecasts. Choose one that's been recorded and one that you'd like to hear. You'd like to have a placecast.
Okay. We'll start with the one I'd like to hear. I haven't yet approached him, but there's a rapper called Roots Maneuver. And I'm not that into hip-hop, but I used to be when I was a bit younger. And Roots Maneuver, he's from Brixton. He's a very cool guy. A very Brixton person, you know, not an international rapper. He's, like, of his place. He does fantastic hip-hop. And I want to get him to go around some spots around Brixton where he grew up and lay down some freestyles at various points as placecasts. And this brings me to another reason why this is, I think, different to a standard audio tours app, is that we're approaching and inviting an enormous diversity of contributors. It's not just historians who know about the history of an area or architects who know about why buildings look like they do. It's really anyone who is an artist or a scholar, an artist in the widest sense of the word, meaning they have original ideas, whether they lay them down in paint or in poems or in fiction or in non-fiction. Anyone who has an original way of looking at things, like Roots Maneuver, he's a poet and a rapper. So a massive diversity of contributors, and that's part of the joy, I imagine. You never know what you're going to get.
Of the ones that you've had recorded so far by people, which is one that you'd recommend people to walk to and listen to?
I feel a bit bad favouring one over the other.
How does this differ from, let's say, Soho Stories, which was a geolocated audio app?
It's a good point, and I would say that it's all about diversity, and it's all about it not being a tour, and it not being a kind of studio-created perfect thing where there's an actor in a studio talking into your ear, and you know that the actor has never been to the place that he's talking to. There's a dislocation in those kinds of experiences. It's a total opposite end of the spectrum where there's real people, a massive diversity of people in terms of their interests and their skills and also their age, time of life, everything. And they're laying down these recordings in the very places, perhaps spontaneously, perhaps more prepared. So it's almost more like a city of echoes or people embodying their thoughts and pinning them to specific places. It's a totally different experience.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from George Fort. If you have any views on the interview or on any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stark of Rethinking Cities Limited. Our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Saunders of Easytronic.